Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review dated Thursday, May 21st, 2026. We'll start with the article on the front page headlined The Bright Side, Keeping It Real. DARE program returns to Decatur after almost 20 years by Valerie Wells, Decatur. For the first time in almost two decades, Decatur Public School students graduated from DARE. Drug Abuse Resistance Education, or DARE, was in schools all over the nation in the 1980s and 1990s. The program used police officers to deliver a message of avoiding drugs and alcohol, and was most often used in fifth and sixth grade classrooms, but fell out of favor when studies showed the format was ineffective. The program was revamped and now also covers good decision-making in general, with discussions on bullying, vaping, avoiding violence and gangs, and resisting peer pressure, with a new slogan, Keeping It Real. This isn't about what you learned, Decatur Police Chief Brad Allen told the Johns Hill Magnet School fifth graders who graduated on Tuesday. It's about what you do when it's just you and that decision. Big problems often start with one small bad decision. Your future is built with one decision at a time. Bringing back DARE was the idea of Detective Drew Larson, who serves as John Hill's school resource officer, Allen said. Larson offered to take the training to conduct the classes, which meet weekly for 10 weeks. The idea is not only to teach kids how to make good decisions, but to help them connect with the police and build relationships. We look at it as a positive way to bring something back to the schools, he said. Superintendent Rochelle Clark said she supports it because with the way the world is now, kids are faced with so many negative things at such an early age that she hopes catching them young will help them withstand those pressures. Because of everything that's happening in our community, they felt that if we can start with our younger kids and helping them understand what happens when you engage in these activities with drugs and violence, that these are the outcomes that can happen, she said. We can start with them. They can share with their friends so that when they get older, they know they have choices and the right choices to make. Waiting until middle school is too late, Clark said, and the district wanted to start before then. Baron Wilcoxon said the class was fun. I learned different situations and how to react to it and how to prevent stuff from happening, he said. I think it was really nice that they were willing to come to our school and teach us how to not do drugs, said Nyla Arellano. One thing I learned was if you do drugs, it can affect your body a lot and the way you think, too. That was just amazing to me. Larson told the students at the graduation that he hopes they remember that risks come with consequences, and avoiding risks and resisting peer pressure to do things they know they shouldn't do can prevent a lot of heartache. Leadership is doing the right thing when it's hard, Chief Allen said. The Bright Side highlights uplifting moments across our community. Visit our website to read more and share your ideas. The Bright Side, where good news lives. Elections. Clerks preparing for mail voting. Officials look to boost confidence in method through transparency. By Nicole Heitrek, Capital News, Illinois. Voting by mail isn't new. The United States first implemented the practice on a large scale when President Abraham Lincoln insisted on holding the 1864 election and Union soldiers were far from their polling places. Since the 2020 election and the COVID-19 pandemic, it has become an even more popular voting method and one of the most scrutinized. In that election, a third of votes counted in Illinois were by mail. Matt Dietrich, the spokesperson for the Illinois State Board of Elections, said it was the first time many Illinoisans had taken advantage of mail-in ballots. But as 43% of Americans voted by mail in 2020, according to the Census Bureau, it had the parallel consequence of delaying the timeline for ballot counting in several states. 6 years after President Donald Trump lost to Joe Biden in 2020, he still claims the election was rigged and that late-arriving mail-in ballots were fraudulent and shouldn't have been counted. Nonetheless, it remains a popular method, especially in Illinois, where the process of ensuring voter confidence in mail voting and elections generally falls upon county clerks. In 2024, more than 18% of voters cast their ballot by mail. According to information from the Illinois State Board of Elections, in 2016, that number was 6.5%. Many county clerks told Capital News Illinois they've developed strategies to boost confidence in voting by mail by relying on transparency, communication, and having people experience the process. In Illinois, we probably have been doing vote by mail longer than most Midwestern states, Don Gray, the Republican Sangamon County clerk, said in an interview. Because of how long it's been happening, he said the state's process is well established and people's faith grows with the more experience they have with the voting method. Ahead of this year's elections, the U.S. Postal Service is making changes that could alter mail voting procedures. Congress is considering the Save America Act to tighten voter ID guidelines and exercise more federal control over voter rolls, and the U.S. Supreme Court is considering whether ballots should be counted if they arrive after Election Day. Illinois officials say they're ready to handle those changes. Vote by mail experience in Illinois. Confidence. In Illinois, anyone who wants to vote by mail simply has to request a vote by mail application from their county's election office, fill it out, and send it back. Then voters wait to receive a ballot in the mail, fill it out, and follow the instructions about how to return it. Illinois implemented no-excuse mail voting in 2009 and set up a system for permanent mail voting in 2021, which allows voters to sign up to receive ballots without having to request them every time an election comes around. Pew Research Center polling from 2025 shows Americans still support mail voting, although Republican support has decreased since 2021. The poll showed support for mail-in voting was higher in states where it's more common. Seven states now have universal mail-in voting, meaning all voters receive ballots in the mail, regardless of whether they asked for them. According to the International Institute for Democracy and Electoral Assistance, 32 countries or territories allow some form of mail-in voting, usually called postal voting. Europe has the largest number of countries that allow voters to cast a ballot using the postal service. It is not my experience that there is some vulnerability in systemic or large-wide fraud on just a mail program, because I know how we operate and we do it well, Gray said. Like other clerks, Gray said he practices full transparency by inviting people to observe how different steps are taken, from how to request a ballot to receiving it and turning it back into the clerk's office, and how it's processed and counted. The more you can expose how you operate, the greater trust and confidence you'll have in your jurisdiction, he said. In Sangamon County, the number of people who vote by mail has increased, and so has the number of people registering in the permanent program. Because of that, Gray thinks voters understand the process better. And I think it's going to be kind of the wave of the future, he said. It's one of those pieces that when you engage it, and you use it, and you realize how well we do it, and how secure it really is, you think to yourself, why haven't I been doing this all along? The number of people signing up for the program has grown in several areas of the state. When Democratic Champaign County Clerk Aaron Ammons took office in 2018, he said only 7,000 to 8,000 people used mail-in voting. But now the permanent vote-by-mail list has grown to almost 20,000. So there's a tremendous increase, but I have been very vigilant about that, he said. I've been very outspoken as an advocate for vote by mail. Ammons has done that in part by using local TV, radio, and newspapers, and providing weekly updates about the process through social media and the county clerk's website. A similar story has played out in Tazewell County. Though the number of people voting by mail has decreased slightly following the pandemic, it's still about a quarter of the votes cast. Half of voters still vote on Election Day, and another one-fourth do it early, but in person. What we're hearing is that our local folks have confidence, Republican Tazewell County Clerk John Ackerman said. More questions are about the post office. Will it be delivered in a timely manner? How can we guarantee that our ballot is actually there? Those questions are answered by ballot tracking, which allows people to keep tabs on their ballot and know when it arrives at the election office. Multiple clerks said it was another major piece of confidence in mail voting. That allows them, voters, to engage in the process rather than just assume it's there, Ackerman said. The Tazewell clerk's office uses a St. Louis-based vendor called No Ink to handle their mail-in ballots, said Ackerman. And Ackerman said the ballot tracking was one of the main reasons why they switched from their previous system. No Ink is a nationally recognized company that was set up by former election officials. The company also has materials for vote-by-mail reminder cards and other bulk mail for clerks to send to voters. Gray called the tracking system a beautiful way to make elections transparent and to boost confidence. You know when you put your ballot in the box, right? Hold us accountable. Make sure that we got it and that your vote has been validated and counted, he said. Current challenges and solutions. As the first midterm of Trump's second term looms in November, clerks are navigating a few new developments that could shake faith in the vote-by-mail process. The United States Postal Service updated language regarding postmarking mail, including ballots. In a January news conference, a bipartisan group of county clerks warned that the new rule could alter when a postmark is applied and what it means for ballot eligibility. Illinois accepts ballots up to 2 weeks after an election, as long as the ballot is postmarked by Election Day. The new rule means people who mail their ballots on or a few days before Election Day risk having their ballots rejected, clerks warned. The March primaries were the first elections under the new rules, and Ackerman said the rule change didn't have as big an effect on mail-in voting as the clerk's office feared it would. I think that's due to the fact that we got information out, he said. Before the primaries, the Illinois Association of County Clerks and Recorders met to discuss how to handle the change and to spread the word about it. There, Ackerman said he planned to put cards with information about the new rules in the vote-by-mail packets Tazewell County voters were sent before the primaries. Those packets also included a voter's ballot, return envelope, and instructions for filling out the ballot and turning it in. In Sangamon County, 7,317 mail-in ballots were returned, and only 4 were rejected for having a late postmark. Williamson County had 1,206 mail-in ballots returned and 18 rejected because of the late postmark. In Tazewell County, 15 mail-in ballots out of 2,933 were rejected because they were postmarked 1 or 2 days after March 17th. There shouldn't be ballots that aren't counted, period, Ackerman said. The goal is to have every single ballot counted. In generalized numbers, that doesn't mean a lot. But to those 15 individuals, I'm sure that is a big problem. Another challenge could come from the U.S. Supreme Court as it considers whether states should be able to count ballots that are postmarked by Election Day but arrive later. A decision in the case is expected sometime before June 30th, and it could lead to Illinois having to adjust how it collects mail-in ballots. The State Elections Board is already planning for the ruling and how to communicate new information to voters, Dietrich said. Anytime there's a big change to how elections are conducted, he said, there's a perception that voting is complicated or that there's something to worry about. And he wants to reassure voters that the state will make available all the information they need to know. Misinformation about voting spreads, Democratic Champaign County Clerk Aaron Ammon said, because some people only engage when it's time to vote for president or Congress. People are not always paying attention, he said, so they don't see the information, or they digest misinformation as much as they do any accurate information. He said he asks election judges, both Republican and Democratic, to talk about their experience to help set the record straight. He also relies on local media to share new information. Ammons credits early education for how people in Champaign County adjusted to the postmark change for the primaries. Ackerman said Tazewell County would handle a change to whether Illinois could accept ballots after the election the same way they managed the postmark change. We would have to proactively advertise that change to the public so they knew to adjust their clocks, he said. That would mean telling people to mail their ballots at least a week before Election Day. When reassuring voters, Ackerman said, it helps to separate what's going on in Illinois from what happens in other states or at the federal level. All I can do is try to make sure they are confident in their vote, their elections here, he said. That's about the limits of where I'm at. Still, Ackerman noted that interest in voting by mail and voting early in person continues to increase, especially as people experience the process and realize it's easy and secure. We went from handling a couple hundred ballots for vote by mail to having a vote by mail list now that's, I believe, it's sitting at about 12,000, he said. President continues to ramp up rhetoric. It took 4 days to call the 2020 race, for due to how long it took to count votes in key swing states like Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. That delay opened the door for conspiracy theories about the election. Dietrich said after 2020, he started getting many more messages and Freedom of Information Act requests for documents related to the election. But in his experience, once people try voting by mail, their doubts about it fade. It's very hard to explain to someone who, if they believe that voting by mail is just rife with fraud and that it's so easy to get other voters' ballots and vote them, if they haven't seen how it works, it's hard to explain why that's not the process, he said. Since 2020, county clerks have developed strategies to boost confidence in voting by mail by relying on transparency, communication, and having people experience the process. Dietrich said he thinks people's faith in vote by mail has increased a lot over the years based on the higher numbers of people using that method. I think some of those who were skeptical, probably in the 2020 cycle, probably saw that it is, number one, convenient for you, but number two, that it is secure, he said. But even as they work to build trust, Trump has continued to criticize mail-in voting, even though records and reporting show that he frequently uses it, including in the 2026 Florida special elections and in 2020. On March 31st, Trump signed an executive order that would delegate responsibility for determining who can vote by mail to the United States Postal Service. The order instructs the USPS to refuse to deliver a ballot to anyone not on a newly created federal mail voter list, which would be established after receiving voter roll data from every state. Illinois is one of 23 states that is challenging it in court, along with voting rights groups, and the Department of Justice on May 1st told a judge it has not acted on the order to restrict mail-in voting. Decatur, Memorial Day event set all weekend, by Valerie Wells. Decatur. Memorial Day weekend is packed with activities to honor those who gave their lives in service to their country. At 9 a.m. Saturday, May 23rd, Graceland Cemetery will hold a brief ceremony to dedicate 222 flags on the Avenue of Flags. Families of veterans, both living and deceased, purchased the flags to honor their loved ones and are to be hung by an army of volunteers on Friday, including Boy Scouts. Due to a history of thefts of the flags in the overnight hours in past years, the flags will be guarded by volunteers from dusk until dawn daily to prevent further thefts. The flags are casket flags, used to drape the caskets of veterans, and not the kind of flags people hang outside their homes. Anyone caught vandalizing or trying to steal the flags is subject to arrest and prosecution. It's important to teach younger generations to mark Memorial Day, said David Gerbel of Moran and Gerbel Funeral Home, which organizes the Memorial Day activities at Graceland. With that aim in mind, a car show will be held at Graceland from noon to 4 p.m. Saturday. Gerbel said, the hope is that more people will come to the cemetery to see the car show, and while they're there, pay their respects to the veterans. We want to bring awareness to Memorial Day, he said. On Monday, May 25th, the Memorial Day ceremony will begin at 11:30 a.m. at the Korean War Memorial in Graceland, with featured speaker Greg Sullivan, a veteran of the United States Navy. The Veterans Assistance Commission will sponsor a Memorial Day ceremony in the Big Pavilion at Fairview Park at 10 a.m. Monday, with featured speaker Sergeant First Class Leah Medina, a member of the Illinois National Guard with more than 23 years of military service, including deployments supporting operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. SFC Medina currently serves as an interagency liaison for the Illinois National Guard Joint Staff in coordination with the Illinois Emergency Management Agency, Office of Homeland Security. She is also Senior Vice Commander of VFW Post 99 in Decatur and a life member of the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association. The ceremony will include wreath placements from local veterans organizations and posts, presentation of colors, memorial honors with taps as a ceremonial salute by the Macon County Honor Guard, and the national anthem performed by Sarah Sanders. The ceremony will conclude in time to attend the Graceland Cemetery event at 11:30 a.m. Richland Community College, Fulbright Scholar named, Dureraj to take fall sabbatical to teach biology in India, by Valerie Wells. Professor Srinivasan Dureraj at Richland Community College is a Fulbright Scholar. Known familiarly to students and staff as Dr. D, Dureraj, who teaches biology at Richland, applied for and was accepted into the program. He will take a sabbatical during the fall semester to go back to his home state in India, where he will teach biology, microbiology, and biotechnology, and bring back new ideas from colleagues there to share with his colleagues and students here. Few colleges have a Fulbright Scholar, said Board of Trustees Chairman Dale Coley. For a small college in the middle of a soybean field to have one, we need to let people know the caliber of professors we have here. The Board of Trustees approved the sabbatical at its Tuesday meeting. In other business, the trustees approved the purchase of the Epic Lyceum Electronic Health Records student version at a cost of $76,000, which includes licenses for 100 students. Dr. Tasha Jones said hospitals and the medical community use such a program to keep patient records rather than physical charts, and most nursing students at Richland never get to see the electronic records until their clinical training, putting them at a disadvantage. By having the program as part of their training prior to clinicals, Jones said, the students will get to practice reading medication orders and patient records and using the EPIC program before clinicals and will be more effective nurses as a result. The purchase will make it a permanent function of the nursing program, she said, with the only added expense each year the students' individual licenses. That cost will be added to their course fees after this first year, so the college will not have to bear any future expense. The trustees approved the purchase. The board also approved the purchase of a John Deere maintenance vehicle at a cost of $45,652 from Sloan Implement in Shelbyville. Joe Feinstein, Executive Vice President of Technology and Operations, reminded the board that they had approved a plan to negotiate with dealers directly at the Farm Progress Show for such vehicles. But that didn't work out, and no vehicles were purchased. The college is still in need of them, and the one approved at the meeting is a smaller vehicle with a blade that will be useful for clearing sidewalks of snow in the winter and for using for upkeep on the grounds during the summer months. Sister Act sings. Decatur's Theater 7 on stage with Sister Act, the musical. Decatur. Theater 7 cast will be on stage for Sister Act, the musical, May 23rd, 24th, 29th through 31st at the Decatur Civic Center. The comedy follows Dolores Van Cartier as she hides out in a convent under the name Sister Mary Clarence after witnessing a murder. While there, she helps the choir full of nuns find their voices. Tickets are $19 for general admission, $15 for students. Call 217-422-6161 or visit DecaturCivicCenter.org/events. By Danette Beckett, Herald and Review. Zaker, 50th Anniversary. Decatur. Lorelei and Dick Zaker of Decatur will celebrate their golden anniversary on May 22nd. The couple was married in 1976 in Waukegan, Illinois. She is a retired reporter and public school teaching assistant. He is a retired reporter and copy editor for the Herald and Review. They have 3 children and 2 grandchildren. Digest. Fed minutes hint at higher interest rates. Washington. Federal Reserve officials' concerns about inflation being stoked by the Iran war intensified last month, with a growing number open to the possibility that they may need to raise interest rates. In a sign that incoming Chair Kevin Warsh will inherit an increasingly hawkish crew of central bankers. A majority of Fed policymakers at their April 28th through 29th meeting felt some policy firming would likely become appropriate if inflation stays persistently above the central bank's 2% target, according to minutes of the meeting released Wednesday. To address this possibility, many participants indicated that they would have preferred removing the language from the post-meeting statement that suggested an easing bias regarding the likely direction of the committee's future interest rate decisions, minutes of the meeting said. We'll take a break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, May 21st, 2026. Please stay tuned.